Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the calls me to this passage, and I
coming live. I have on the show tonight special guest again, Dr. A, and we got Kanika back in the house. Let's go ahead, and I feel at night she got some important things she need to tell us about, so we're going to go ahead and get started.
Hey, man, God.
Hey,
woman,
God.
How are you?
Hello, Dr. Alali.
Hello, man of God, King of Canada. How are you?
Hello, Nathan. I'm doing good.
Did you guys get that paper I sent you from Germany?
If I got what from Germany?
Electrosensitivity is now declared as a disability around the world, every country.
Where was this information coming from?
This is coming from the World Health Organization.
Okay.
Now has, remember we've been talking about the codes forever?
Yeah.
And now it's coding. Well, we're really getting ready to push this. Matter of fact, let me send it to you while we're talking.
Sure. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I missed that.
Are we live, Doc?
Hello.
I'm here.
You're live.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dr. Rhoda Zion of Lally. Thank you for tuning in to this evening to listen to Tuesday Health Talk Radio with Dr. A. Lai. We're out in the middle of a cornfield in the Midwest because there is such an epidemic of Lyme disease. And I've been at workshops and conferences for the last week with medical doctors and naturopathic practitioners and herbologists and people and environmental scientists trying to look at the electromagnetic dynamics and the effect on people with Lyme disease. This is what I never knew. First of all, Lyme disease has been defined as a disease that occurs and affects the nervous system after you have been bitten by a tick. But there's a new hypothesis by Dr. Klinghart that suggests if you have excessive electromagnetic smog, you have Wi-Fi, you have modems in your bedroom, you have a bedroom full of electronics, and it can create such an electrical storm that it makes the body act like Lyme disease or act like you have been bitten by a tick. And in this community in southern Ohio, doctors, medical doctors, and naturopaths are having to work together. That's the good news. Because modern-day medicine is not rendering any type of relief from these electrical storms and this electrical dynamics that is causing paralysis, causing young people to have nervous breakdowns, causing women to have excessive bleeding, causing neuropathy and people to go paralyzed in their lower extremities. I mean, I've heard some horrific stories. I've seen some horrific stories. I have never seen so many young women debilitated in my life under the age of 40. I met about 6 of them, and altogether I met 8 women with the same symptoms, nervousness. They felt like they were having nervous breakdowns, heavy menstrual cycle, weakness, neuropathy, pain in their lower extremities, pain, raging headache. And the electrical dynamics in their early their homes were over 1,000. The eldest woman was 78 years old. And ironically, it affected their husband. It affected them, but it did not affect their husband beyond having sustained fatigue. But it was not debilitating fatigue. So at first the husbands didn't believe the wives. But they knew that the stamina that the wives had and the energy that the wives had, and to see their wives just collapse with fatigue was overwhelming to these men. And many of them were so angry. But I have to applaud these young men for hanging in there and trying to do investigative research, and many of them were angry, and they wanted to be angry at me. But I told them, I said, look, I'm not the one you need to be angry at, because I've been on the campaign trail without a salary for over a decade, trying to get help, trying to get support, trying to get people to hear me. And they wanted to make me the laughingstock of the community and say there was no validity to what I was saying. But guess what? Now, the radiation maps are out. And the maps are saying everything I've been saying for the last decade, that the area is a radiation zone 1, the highest in the nation. And therefore, there has to be intentional regard for people's diet, educating their diet and educating how they live, educating intentional mitigation of their home. Because unless you reduce the exposure to electromagnetic smog, it will exacerbate Lyme disease, and it will mimic and make the symptoms of Lyme disease go through the roof. And that's exactly what's happening. So tonight, in the midst of this conference, the medical doctors got together and we all met for lunch. And we began to study some of the cases that were in the community that were really extraordinaire. And the end result of this conversation was a covenant that was made with doctors from prestigious institutions in the Miami Valley area. And everybody was tasked an assignment. And the assignment was to look at the codes that existed and try to develop partnerships and collaborations with the insurance companies. And guess what we found? We found that the World Health Organization has deemed electromagnetic hypersensitivity, electric sensitivity as a disability. Yes! The whole world recognizes the medical elite, the medical law, recognizes electrosensitivity as a disability. It recognizes that people are developing intolerances to the environment, and that people are getting multi-chemical sensitivity. And this is a great day in America. This is a great day in the world. Because we have been on this microphone. We have been carried by Pastor Hill, by Ida Morris, by Mario, by Rod, the people who have been faithful to keep my voice lifted, to keep this work lifted, to keep hope alive, to keep a glimmer of light on the fact that things have to change, the environments have to be corrected. And now that we have this coding, it's ICD-10 code 2000, electric sensitivity, and it really should be electromagnetic sensitivity because it's the magnetic dynamic of electricity that is creating all the havoc and all of the cellular miscommunication and reverse cellular spin and interruption of healthy cellular polarity. And so with this dynamic, we're going to be knocking on doors of insurance companies. We're going to be speaking at medical conferences. We're going to be getting doctors behind, getting the training to do what they are have been trying to do, and that is retrofit environments to manage disease. They have a CPT code, and now those CPT codes for environmental adaptation or disease management have been extended so that the multi-disciplines of occupational therapy, physical therapy, nursing, and medicine now have their own unique code for environmental adaptation. This is a great day in the world because with so much electrical smog weakening the immune system and making people that have Lyme disease go on the brink of a nervous breakdown. I have seen Morgellons disease. These parasites are going crazy in people's body, in their eyes, in their spine, in their back, in their gut. It is crazy to see the overwhelming presentation of parasites and Lyme disease just infecting. It's like a plague. It is like a plague. I've never seen anything like it. And I just ask God to cover these practitioners with the blood of Jesus, because they are on the front line in the middle of this disease with these parasites. And I met one doctor who did contract Lyme disease, and she's trying to care for her family. Her children have it. She's trying to care for her family and do her job with this health challenge. America, we have to wake up. We have to wake up. I have seen some horrific situations this week. I saw one elderly lady who, we surveyed her house, the numbers were over 1,000, and she had so much anxiety. She was staying with a friend because the friend had had her house remediated, and she did not want to be in her home alone. It's a wake-up, but it's good news. It's great news. You almost feel like popping a bottle of champagne and giving a toast to my Canadian family, my Columbia University family, my Central State University family, my North Carolina Central University family, my North Carolina State University family, my University of California Berkeley family, my University of California Los Angeles and San Francisco family. For all the people, my Howard University family, for all the, my academes, my academicians, all my colleagues, my soror, people who have lifted me up and have kept the hope alive and have kept the torch lit, because they knew the environment was a critical factor in health.
Oh, what's that?
So I hear some people in the background. Somebody have something they want to say? Anybody have a comment?
But I'm trying to get on here. Okay.
Is that you, Pastor Hill, I'm listening to? I hear conversation coming in the back. I thought somebody was trying to have a comment. Does anybody have a comment? Testimony? Anyone wants to chime in and speak to this phenomenon?
Hey, I'll call you back in about 30 minutes. Wow.
Okay. Mute your phone because we can hear you online. You're live on this show tonight. So, someone asked me about the update on the lady that had Alzheimer's, how she was doing. And as you recall her story, last October, her home was mitigated and she was in end-stage Alzheimer's. They didn't expect her to live but a couple of weeks. And so I actually went to see her. I went to see her and her family, and I was so astounded. They said she sings every day. She's up walking. She's helped participating in her plan of care. She's doing some amazing things with her family and keeping everybody on their P's and Q's. She knows who she is, who her children are, who her grandchildren are. And it's just like they said, she woke up. Everybody in her house has lost an average of about 28 pounds. I mean to tell you, I can't believe everybody in that house has lost weight and everybody is looking fabulous. And it's just amazing to see everybody in this house, except for maybe a couple of people, had some type of health challenge that they were dealing with. And everybody has stabilized. And it's so critical to note that the solar bio-nano technologies were never created to treat, diagnose, prevent, or cure disease. They were never developed to do that. But it's amazing when you clean the environment up and you reduce your assault to air and radiation toxins, the body can then heal itself. We had another miracle happen. One of the clients whose homes we did, she had one of those diabetic wounds for years that would not heal on her toe. It was about a fourth inch deep. In 4 days, it had filled up to, it was very, just a fraction of depth but it had closed like 50%. They just sent me a picture of that toe this morning. The toe has made new blood vessels, and it's filled in all the way, and now it's putting surface skin. This is a wound that refused to heal in over a year. That is almost healed, and this wound is moving so fast, by the middle of September, it's probably going to be totally healed. We're going to have a party when this wound is healed. And so it's been tremendous to see. I also was in the home of someone that had their home mitigated last year, and their great-grandchild came in. Mothers and fathers listening in tonight, sisters and brothers, we have got to safeguard these children on using cell phones. This baby, 7 years old, had white radiation burns on his cheek from where he was using his parents' cell phone and holding it to the face. You're supposed to hold these cell phones an inch away from your face. Every responsible manufacturer of a cell phone is rendering a warning telling you do not hold that cell phone on your face because it's powered by non-ionizing radiation. And it's irresponsible to let your child have a cell phone without giving them some intentional instructions about safety, because the cell phone can take away their ability to hear. Their cell phone can sterilize the child so that he is not able to conceive, because cell phone radiation reduces sperm formation. It can cause our children to have alpha and theta disruptions in the brain. And that's why in Europe, they have to put health warning labels on. And it's official now in Berkeley, California. They are making those cell phone stores put a warning label and telling people that cell phones have the potential to cause injury. That's why I love California. I love the sun in California. I love the food. I love the fresh air. California people are beautiful, and I love beautiful California. Because California is not playing with environmental toxins. They'll tell you in a minute. If a hotel has carpet in it, that hotel will cause cancer and injury to the unborn. We have a lot of work to do, but I'm excited. I'm so encouraged now, because we've been 10 years waiting for these codes to come through. These codes started the medical legal process in 2008. This is 2018. It took 10 years of people being scrutinized and called all kind of names and all kind of stuff, but now it's the medical law. The medical elite is saying, yes, electricity can cause injury. And so I've got to get the report on our environmental bishop, David Clark. As you know, he had a blood clot that went in his brain, and he had a stroke. And they could not give him the medicine that dissolves the blood clot, so they had to air flight him to a trauma center, and he had to have emergency surgery on his brain. And we went into prayer all night praying for him. I had 13 bishops and pastors praying with me. Many of you on this prayer line was praying. I asked for a special prayer. We prayed together for him. And before they took him into surgery, he said to them, go get my flat battery. Go get my nanos. He told them where it was at. He said, I don't want to be in this hospital without it. They could not give a prognosis for his recovery. When he woke up, he couldn't talk. He couldn't swallow. The left side of his body was paralyzed. And then we prayed, and I prayed with his family. I said, take that nano in there. And we told God, we called Isaiah 61. We proclaimed a year of favor over him, and we called a day of vengeance of our God. We proclaimed a year of favor of the Lord Jesus Christ and a day of vengeance of our God. And we proclaimed and decreed and declared he would not be paralyzed. Everything in his body would rebalance and renew and restore in the name, Lord Jesus. And they ran and got that flat battery and took it in that intensive care unit and put it in his, on the heel of his foot, put a sock over it. Within 6 hours, formation came to his body and strength came to his body. And he woke up and he was alert and he was conscious. Within 17 hours, he was moved out of the intensive care. He stabilized. The doctors were astounded. They moved him to a step-down unit. Within 60 hours, they were sending him out to rehab. The whole event created such a praise and worship in his church and in his family that God was able to use the event to just do what he does best, show out, show up, and get a multitude of blessings rolling his way. We all were blown away when in 1 week's time, or I should say a little bit more than 1 week, it's been probably about 2.5 weeks, he had the audacity to be strong enough to come home. No feeding tubes, no walking apparatuses, walking around, marching around, eating on his own. So shall I sing, flat battery, energize the harmonize, we charge, flat battery, ooh, flat battery, wow, flat battery. Thank you, Lord, for that miracle. Because the flat battery is an electrical safety device that discharges static. And when static is out of the body can do a miraculous thing. It can heal. It can balance. It can do amazing things. So he called me yesterday. We had about an hour and a half conversation just talking about the whole event of how his body was so weak and the battery helped him to get strong. And the doctors are still astounded at his miraculous comeback. God is awesome, and this is his technology, and he wants to do the exceeding with his technology. He wants to do the exceeding with his technology. So we bless God for the holiness of his name. And we decree and declare, our God is an awesome God, and he reigns forever and ever and ever. He was from the beginning, and he shall be until the end of time. And so we don't have to apologize anymore because we all were intentionally made. We were made with an intentional purpose, and that was to secure the earth, nurture the earth, redeem the earth, shield the earth, repair the earth, that the earth can continue to yield life for the glory of God and to sustain our health. And on that note, I'm sitting here looking in this wonderful country breeze, and I'm so happy that the mosquitoes have not came and got me tonight. But on that note, I'm going to say good evening. I'm going to give a special shout-out to Pastor Hill, who we love and celebrate, for sending me a piece of these beautiful red okra and the first bitter melon I have ever seen. Pastor Hill, you got to tell everybody about this bit of melon that you are growing that's almost in your garden.
Yes. I started researching bitter melon about 3 to 4 years ago, and it's a very expensive product. But the amazing thing it do for diabetes, I've heard so many stories about how people had diabetes and they couldn't really get a good stabilize and everything, and Bill and Miller came in there, and it just wiped diabetes off the map. And you can eat it any way you want it. Some people tell me they can pickle it. You can eat it right off the bush. It's amazing what you can do with this great.
Well, what does it taste like? It looks like a cucumber to me.
It don't look nothing like nothing you ever seen before. It looked like something from space, out of space, really. And then you watch it growing, and it's on this little tiny vine, and then the vine get big in that area, and it's holding it up. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. And right now, it's just amazing. I watch it every day how it's growing, and now there's about 4 or 5 on the bush, and I replant the other one out of a pot, and I put in helium soil. I'm going to try to nourish that to get that to grow. And, I'm going to save some seeds this year, and hopefully next year I have a full garden of Little Miller.
Well, all right. Well, I'm excited to. I'm going to Whole Foods and try to see if I can get me some better melon, because the bishop, what the conference is, Bishop Terry told me to get bitter melon because he had started on it. He says, "Girl, my diabetes is so in check. I'm managing the diabetes with my diet."
Wow.
So I'm excited to hear that he said. His doctor took him off of all his medication. And I'm so glad, you know, he had said that to me about 3 or 4 years ago, and I haven't gotten all about it until you sent me that picture and told me what it was. I said, Pastor, Bishop told me to go get some of this bitter melon, and I'm certainly going to go get it. I'm certainly going to go get it. And I'm going to get me some before the end of this week. I'm going to get some and put it out in my morning smoothie.
I'm
going to put it in my morning smoothie and call it a day.
One guy said it can dehydrate it, pickle it, put it in your coffee.
Put it in your coffee.
That's what he told me yesterday. Put it in your coffee. It's just like we experiment, you know. With the nano and what it does, I guess we got experiments with the bitter melon.
You put that nano and charge that bitter melon up, ain't no telling what's going to happen. You'll be sliding across the farm yard saying, "I feel good." I can see you now, Pastor.
I noticed one thing about since I got the nano out there on the soil end of the garden. All the products look like they stay green. They're not really, but they're getting ripe look like that, but they're just staying green long.
Oxygenating. It's helping to enrich the soil with oxygen and the air over them. That nano will pick up stray voltage in that farm field, any stray voltage, and it will carry it. And what it does, it increases the pH, it increases the oxygen, and allows the plants to bring it to the surface. And that's why they say so.
Okay, but they're right. I'm looking at cantaloupe. Now, the first cantaloupe, I brought it in the house, and I thought it wasn't right. But then it rotten on me, so it had to been right. So I'm going to pick the other one tomorrow, and it got a little bit of, it still got green in it, but I can see the, you know, how the cantaloupe turn a little gold looking. I can see that in it too. So that cantaloupe got to be right. Now I'm beginning to notice what the nano is doing with the plant.
So that's interesting. And how are the plants tasting?
I haven't tasted it yet.
You know you're the orange chef, so we're waiting for you to take them plants and taste it. And we want to know if you get 6 inches taller or 6 inches wider. What happened?
I don't want to get no wider, I tell you.
You know, I have to warn you. You know what the main con is about those nanos? They increase fertility.
Those
red, and all this was grown in the field with some nano technology, and it may increase fertility. But you have to watch that, because you know we got 8 babies and not supposed to be in the world.
Oh, it done did that. You know, I got to cut that a lot.
you expecting a child?
No, but...
Oh, bless God. I get my dancing shoes on.
No, I ain't expecting that, but I tell you, it's rough.
Okay.
everything is going, even like now I got to shave about every day. You know, hair it just, everything just, I'll say just get rejuvenated.
Yes, well, I'm excited because those farmers that have had the technology on their fields for 3 years say they can't believe how it's just nurtured and restored the soil and the plants, the harvest that they're getting off of those fields. They said it's unbelievable.
How are we going to really check that, just by the plant growing?
They're checking it by the size of their plants.
Okay. Well, I got some okra right now about a foot long. So I said I'm going to let them grow about it. Then I'm going to cut them. And then I'm going to reseed them for next year.
How long are the okra supposed to be?
Well, I usually cut my okra right at about 2 inches. But I have seen some okra.
A foot long?
Oh, yeah, they're definitely about a foot. If they ain't a foot long today, tomorrow, they're going to be about a foot long. Yeah.
Wow, I ain't never even heard of an okra being a foot long.
This year. I got some green okra out there. Oh, man. They're about an inch in diameter now, and they're almost a foot long. So
wow.
I'm going to seed them out for next year. I'm gonna go ahead and seed them out for next year. Yeah. But, you got to watch this bit of milling. I ain't never seen nothing like it. And it just hang in there. It just hang in there. And that is not like my wife told me, that thing ain't gonna be able to stay on the vine. It's gonna fall off. And the vine is getting bigger along with the miller. I'm saying,
wow.
It's incredible.
Wow. Really? Well, I'm glad you're having this experience and you're online. And you're on live tonight to share it with us, because most people never even heard of a bitter melon. And when I looked up the benefits, I was blown away at how it kills disease.
Oh, yeah. I researched it a couple of years ago. It really is a fantastic plant. And I don't think they really know what all it can do yet.
Yes. It would be interesting to see what it does for HIV.
Wow, yeah.
Bitter plants can do amazing things for diseases.
Well, I'm
okay.
Gonna find out.
All right, sir. Well, Mario, what's happening in Canada?
Mario just got dropped. I think Mario fell asleep on me tonight.
I'm going to talk to him about that.
Mario, a little tired.
Medium report, Mario.
Yeah. I tell you. Yeah, he got dropped just now.
Oh, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to say goodnight. Being outside and doing this radio show is putting me to sleep. I am so grateful. I have not gotten one mosquito bite. And I am going to I got some family members that dropped by to see me while I'm in the area, and so I'm going to go say goodnight to them, and we look forward to next Tuesday and hearing more about bitter melon and how big that melon is. You got to send me another picture, Doc, so I can post it up and say we're watching the bitter melon. What are we going to name this bitter melon, Bill or Fred?
I don't know.
I'm naming Fred. I love the name Fred. We're gonna name the bitter melon Fred, and so we're gonna see what Fred's doing this time next week. We gotta know when did he get planted, and we gotta know when he's gonna be plucked.
Yeah, that's gonna be amazing. I saw online a guy had one about 3 or 4 inches in diameter, about 5 feet long, so I don't know. I'm gonna wait and see.
Well, I hope you get a 9 foot long one.
Wow.
That sounds amazing.
Isn't it
now?
Okay, then.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight and hearing our Healthy Talk radio live with Dr. A. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Followed by the pound or hash. If you do not know your PIN, please enter pound or hash.